Welcome back, listeners. Today marks an exciting milestone as we launch the inaugural episode of a brand new series, Leadership Lens, on the Denodo Data Bytes podcast. In this series, we explore the dynamic world of data, drawing insights from top leaders on the latest trends within the data industry. I'm your host, Neha, and I'm excited to welcome our first guest on this show, Paul Moxon, Senior VP of Data Architectures and Chief Evangelist here at Denodo. Paul brings over two decades of expertise from leading integration giants like Progress Software and Axway. Paul has a keen eye for emerging technologies and extensive knowledge of software architectures in the ever-evolving world of data management. So join us as we gain leadership insights on getting the fundamentals right for GenAI with Paul today. Welcome to the first episode of Leadership Lens, Paul. But before we begin, could you please share a brief overview of your role at Denodo for our audience?
Sure. Nice to be here, Neha. It's a while since we spoke together. My role at Denodo, as you said, my title is Senior Vice President of Data Architectures, Chief Evangelist. And in this role, I talk a lot to organizations, customers, prospects, etc., about their data strategy and how Denodo and a logical approach to data management can fit in with that strategy. And as data management evolves, my role is evolving, and now it includes how Gen AI can be supported by a logical approach to data management as well.
Thank you, Paul. So speaking of Gen AI, my first question for you is, everyone acknowledges the potential of Gen AI and its possible use cases, right? But can you comment on how far it has translated into actual business value and why?
Okay, so I agree with you. There's a lot of noise in the marketplace about the potential of Gen AI. PricewaterhouseCoopers has said that Gen AI will create, I think it's about $16 trillion of value to the global economy, which is a huge amount. That's three German economies added to the global economy in terms of its output. And lots of companies have made lots of noise about how they're adopting Gen AI. So, for example, International Hotels Group has talked about a chatbot to help their guests plan vacations. It's not available yet. Wendy's has talked about using Google AI for drive-through ordering to speed up the process. And that's going into a pilot later in 2024. So there's lots of announcements about plans or pilots, but very few real-world implementations. And in some ways, it reminds me about the noise we had around big data about 15 or so years ago, where everybody was saying they're going to be a big data company. And we know how that turned out. So there's a lot of noise, but very few real-world implementations yet. Now, there are some implementations. Octopus Energy in the United Kingdom, they're a utility company. They have got an AI project which is actually responding to customer emails. And it's doing the work of over 200 people. So that's a great example. So as to why we're not seeing more value from Gen AI, it's early stages. A lot of people are in the pilot phase. They're in the experimentation phase. They're not really producing applications which are ready for prime time, so to speak. And the truth is, it's difficult. It's not as easy as people think. People think they can just go to ChatGPT, type a question, they get this wonderful answer. It's a lot harder than that. And it reminds me somewhat of an iceberg. You know, I think it's something like 6/8 or 5/8 of the iceberg is underneath the surface. So when we talk about Gen AI, people see what's above the surface. They think, oh, I want a chatbot that does that. I want an AI application that does that. They don't realize all the work that has to go on underneath the surface, behind the scenes, to get that ready. And unless you do that, and this is where you build your foundational models, you access all your data with the data integration, etc. Unless you get that right, the little bit above the surface is very, very hard to do. And I think that's what a lot of companies are finding, that the potential is there, but it's a lot harder than people think to actually implement good AI applications.
Very well said, Paul. So this brings me to my next question. What are the top three tips for organizations then to get started on building real-world Gen AI applications, in your opinion?
Okay, so my top three. First of all, get that data foundation right before building your apps. Without this, you're going to do lots of one-off coding and integrations. It's not going to be reusable. It's not going to be repeatable. and it will slow the time to deliver that AI application, to get value, to get business value from it. You don't want to be doing lots of custom coding for every single application. So get that data foundation right. And part of getting that data foundation right, and this is number two on the tip, is make sure your data is AI ready. I remember being at a conference a month or two ago, and there was this lady on the stage, and she said she had done this training in generative AI. I think it was by Harvard Business School or MIT. And they said the number one differentiator in Gen AI is your company's own data. And that is going to make a difference. That's what's going to differentiate you from another bank or another insurance company or another manufacturing company, et cetera, your own data. But you have to get that data AI ready. And that means that it's got to be the data that's needed by the AI model and just the data that's needed by the AI model. If you give it too much data, you'll confuse it. The data's got to be in the right format so the AI model can use it. It's got to have the correct terminology, the terminology of the AI application. So for example, you know, if the questions asked to an AI chatbot are going to ask about sales, but your data is called bookings, it's going to confuse the model and you're going to get wrong answers. You're going to get hallucinations. So the data's got to be the right name. It's got to be correctly labeled. It's got to have samples of it ready for the AI model, et cetera. Without this, you're not going to get much value. So get the foundation right. Make sure your data is AI ready. And finally, start with a pilot project that demonstrates measurable business value. Something that you can measure and show, this AI application increased this. So it could be improved productivity for employees. That's the Wendy's drive-through example I gave earlier, which is just coming into the pilot phase now. That's going to reduce the time at the drive-through by, I think they said something silly like 22 seconds, but over the course of a year, that amounts to a lot of productivity improvement for employees. Better customer satisfaction is measurable. Octopus Energy, they're measuring customer satisfaction of the AI responding to those customer emails. Or increasing revenues, and that the example there is that International Hotels Group with a chatbot that helps you plan the vacations and, you know, gets that revenue from the customers. So it has to be measurable. So a pilot that demonstrates measurable business value, that's what you've got to start with. So they're my three.
Very well said, Paul. So that definitely makes sense. My next question for you is, training generative AI models like OpenAI's GPT can be very costly, right? So what other options do organizations have to reap the value and benefits of Gen AI?
Exactly, you're quite right. Training an AI model, a large language model, as we call it, from scratch is very, very expensive. It costs tens of millions of dollars. And this is why the large tech companies such as Google, Microsoft through OpenAI, Meta, Apple, they're the people who are doing this. They can afford that. I don't understand why anybody else would want to do this rather than leverage the work done by the large tech companies. Now, there are other options for making the Gen AI more valuable in the context of the organization. Remember, the differentiator is the organization's data. So you have to feed that data, the organization's contextual data, to the large language model to improve its answer, improve the accuracy of its answer, remove the hallucinations. And there are a number of options for companies to do this. And in order of increasing complexity and increasing costs, so in other words, the cheapest and the easiest one to do is first, the options are contextual prompt engineering, retrieval augmented generation, and fine-tuning the generative AI models. And I'll explain each one of those very, very quickly. Prompt engineering, it's something that's been around for a while, and it's basically improving the questions or the prompts that are sent to the Gen AI model, the large language model, usually telling it to adopt a role. So for example, that Octopus Energy example of responding to customer emails, etc. You'd improve the prompts going to the AI model and say, you are acting the role of a customer services agent, write me a friendly email to explain to a customer the outcome of their support ticket. So it tries to get the large language model, the AI model, to work in a particular way. That's very easy to do, but it's got very low efficiency. It doesn't add great values. Retrieval augmented generation is very, very important. This is a really hot topic in the area of Gen AI, which is intercepting that question to the large language model and going and looking at the question and saying, okay, what information, what internal information do I need to go and respond to this question? And then having this extra step of going and retrieving that data from a knowledge base or a database or an application, adding it to the original question, then sending it to the large language model and saying, now you've got the data, answer the question. And this could be something like, what are the sales in the central region last month? You need that data coming from your applications and databases. The third one, which is fine-tuning the AI models, is really further training. And it's taking your data and feeding it into those large language models like GPT and further training them. And that's a possibility for static data, because this is very expensive to do. It's very complex to do. So you don't want to be doing it all the time. So they're the alternative options to building your own large language model.
Perfect. Very well said there, Paul. So prompt engineering, that is basically improving questions or the prompts that we give to the Gen AI platform. Retrieval augmented generation, that's the RAG that we keep seeing in a lot of conferences, at least in the data space nowadays, right? So see, which basically is how the question is intercepted and retrieving the data from the knowledge base basically and sending it to the large data model, like you mentioned, and then fine-tuning the AI model.
That's correct, yes.
Perfect. Awesome. So speaking about having an organization data ready, what could happen if Gen AI is deployed before an organization matured in its data practices? How might this impact sensitive data and regulatory compliance?
Yeah, this is actually a huge issue in the era of Gen AI. And you're probably aware of this, but there was a recent lawsuit in Canada. It was actually Air Canada who was sued, which basically said organizations are responsible for the information provided by their chatbots. And this is even more appropriate in the area of Gen AI, where we're going to use these AI-powered chatbots. So companies need to take data security, data privacy, and data accuracy very, very seriously. And if you don't have this data foundation that I talked about, if you don't have that ready, prepared for your AI applications, you're going to be doing lots of custom coding. You're going to be getting data for each of the AI applications that you're creating rather than just using this data platform. And there's a lot of risk that the wrong information, sensitive information, will actually be exposed. Large language models themselves don't have access controls. So you can't filter out sensitive data. You could probably instruct them not to use certain data, maybe one of the prompt engineering ways, you know, but that's wishful thinking rather than a true compliance strategy. So again, when you think about sensitive data, regulatory compliance, you need to be able to prove that the AI application, the large language model, is only using the data it's supposed to be using, only using the data it's allowed to be using. And for that, you need this wonderful data foundation layer. Without that, you're reinventing the wheel every single time.
That makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Paul. So when you say we need to set the data boundary effectively, right, to make sure that we are only using the data that needs to be used, we're only pulling the data that's required, what is this data layer that you mentioned? Would that be the logical data management layer?
Correct. That's exactly what it is. And that provides the foundation that we've talked about. It allows the AI apps that we're talking about to easily access the data that they need, and only the data that they need, without lots of custom coding, et cetera. And by accessing the data that they need and only the data that they need, then you can reduce the mistakes, the hallucinations. You have better control over what information is being provided to that large language model, to the AI application, to make sure it is using the correct data. So again, think of regulatory compliance, audits, et cetera. It also, remember we talked about making the data AI ready in the correct format, using the correct terminology for the AI application. And this might change from application to application. If I've got a chatbot, which is for customers, I've got to think about what questions are the customers going to ask? and make sure the data is available in the terminology that the customers would use when they're talking to that chatbot. If I've got a different application, which may be an internal application, I need to make sure the data is available for that internal application for maybe employees to use in the terminology and the context of that application. And this logical layer that we're talking about, the Denodo platform effectively, makes it very, very easy for data engineers to do this, because that is one of the harder parts of getting yourself ready for Gen AI, is making sure you have this data foundation.
Right. So apart from this, are there any other benefits that you would like to highlight that, you know, Denodo's logical data management layer brings, supports organizations with?
Well, if you think about it, I'm going back to this statement that I made before, that the differentiator in AI is your own organization's data. That data in most mature organizations is scattered across hundreds and hundreds of databases, data warehouses, some of it in the cloud, some of it on-premise, some of it still in applications like Microsoft Dynamics, ServiceNow, Salesforce, etc. And trying to access that data and make it easily available to the people who are building those Gen AI applications is very hard. The usual mechanism that people do is say, we're going to build a data lake, we're going to put the data into the data lake, and then the AI applications can access the data from the data lake. Well, we've been trying this for 30 years and never managed to build this single central repository containing all our data. So it's not going to work now. So we need to think about how can we make all of that data easily available to the AI models so they can do what they're good at. Without that data, they won't work. And this is what the logical data management layer does. It allows you to access any data anywhere in the organization, whether it's on in the cloud, whether it's in your data center, whether it's located in the UK or Germany, etc. You can access it and feed it to those AI models. Without that, AI won't work.
Definitely, I agree. This method of connecting different data sources from different silos is data virtualization, essentially, right?
Yes, the underlying technology underneath the Denodo platform is data virtualization. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't limit it to say it's just data virtualization. It's a logical data architecture. It's more
right.
Just data virtualization. Data virtualization is the technology that powers it.
That makes a lot of sense. So you would say logical data management layer backed by data virtualization, maybe?
Absolutely. A logical data management layer. And the only real way to do that is through a very mature, very performant data virtualization engine, hence the Denodo platform.
Thank you, Paul, for sharing your insights. This has been a great episode. Before we conclude, I just have a quick Q&A round in store for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Awesome. So my first question is, if you could instantly become an expert in any skill or a hobby of yours, what would it be?
Lordy. The thing I've always wished I could do was languages. I'm English, so I speak English very well, but we have a habit of not speaking any other language very well. I wish I could learn foreign languages as easily as some of the people I know.
That's a good one. What's the most interesting place you've ever visited and what has made it memorable for you?
Oh, Lordy. I'm not sure there is one place because they're all different. I've been to many places around the world, down into South Africa, down into Argentina, Chile, places like that. I've been obviously to a place in Asia, Australia, as well as all around Europe. I would say there's one single place, the most interesting place, because they're all so different. I think it's very hard to pick one out in particular.
You just like the concept of traveling, let's put it that way.
Absolutely. I just enjoy them for what they are.
That's true. Well said. Well said there, Paul. Thank you so much. This was a wonderful episode. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about everything Gen AI today.
That's great. Thanks, Neha.
And a quick message to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.